It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the stream, WGN Radio. We have the fantastic Joe Mantegna in the studio, and I have to ask you, do you have anything left in you? You have been bombarded and given so much love from the staff members.
It's all good. It's good. Hey, when you're bombarded with love, you have no excuse to say you have nothing left. You know what I mean?
I guess.
To be bombarded, that's the way to be bombarded, so it's all good.
Joe, Wendy and I were debating whether or not to play you in with the Godfather theme. And I have to ask you this. They just had a reunion of the casts of Godfathers 1 and 2.
Yeah.
For some reason, Joey Zaza does not get an invite
to this.
We get
no respect.
No respect, Joe.
Joey Zaza gets no respect. I was aware of that, but that's okay. You know, what are you going to do?
But what do you think whenever they talk about, because in my opinion, the Godfather movies are the greatest movies of all time. They just are.
I think that.
But sometimes people leave off Godfather 3. Why?
I think so. I think part of it was the expectation because those two came pretty much close together and there was this 18-year gap.
Yeah.
And so you're thinking about it. So after 18 years, let's see what you got here. Mm-hmm. And so I think to the people who were anticipating something, it might have, whatever, for whatever reason, just didn't, fulfill their dreams.
Yeah.
But I've got to say this, what I've found is sometimes when I talk to younger people who have no attachment to the first two. Mm-hmm. In other words, they've never seen any of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's ironic, or not, whatever you want to call it, but they'll talk to me afterwards and say, hey, I just saw that all three Godfather movies. Man, that was great. That third one, that was my favorite.
Wow.
And I'll look at them and go, yeah, really? And they'll say, yeah. And they'll kind of explain it why. And I'm thinking, and maybe it's because they're from a different generation and they grew up in the 70s. And so they relate to it differently. They're not saying they dislike the other two movies, but they really genuinely say, no, we like the third one the best. Maybe it had more this, that. Because they don't know who these people are.
They're
actors. They can't relate to, you know.
Right.
So
These kids today.
What do they know? Whatever. I'm glad to take it. But anyway, I'm just proud to have been part of it and, you know.
Is it a requirement to have a Mr. Beef beef sandwich before you do an interview?
It is. I just had one. I just had a Mr. Beef sandwich. I'm good to go.
Do you go mozzarella on it or no?
No mozzarella. I'm a purist. They got to go, hot.
Jardinere?
Hot, wet, and sweet. That's it. You know.
That's the way to play it.
That's it.
Joe, also in addition to you being here, our friend Dane is here. Dane Neal. Hi, Dane.
Hey, guys.
We're also a fan of yours. I don't want you to think just because Joe Mantegna's here, we're ignoring
Dane
you.
Is oddly present. Well, whenever there's a situation of honor, you definitely...
And Godfather 4 is great, by the way. Dane made his own...
made
his own sequel.
I was wondering when that was going
to
happen.
To raise a point that has not necessarily been made, and you can talk about different movies or characters that maybe not haven't got the respect that they deserve, but when it comes to Chicago, they support their very own. Joe's obviously one of those, and in the highest way, you know that you have done something right when you get a street named after you, and this is it. Now, here's the thing. We've all seen the streets, and for some of Chicago's greatest, the best, the brightest, all of those things that we see, those ceremonial signs, Joe Mantegna is the last person, the last living person to be able to receive one of those in the future. They will all be presented posthumously. So
attention, celebrities,
this is
hurry
a big,
up and
big
die
deal.
So you can also
I was gonna say, I got to be
Joe.
Careful till 4 o'clock today.
And sometimes, they'll take the street sign and they'll put it in a place that is either prominent, maybe to get a lot of attention or some of those things. But this is a place that is very near and dear to Joe. It's Hudson and Armitage, a place, River Shannon.
It's a tavern. Of course it's near and dear to me.
So, Joe, did you have any input on where they put the sign?
Well, yeah. I mean, first, I lived there. I lived up on top of the River Shannon when I was an acting student at Goodman School of Drama back in the 60s.
Wow.
And how fortunate for me that when I was in junior college, one of the girls and I was doing plays in junior college out in Cicero, Morton Junior College. One of the girls who was working in the makeup department, my dear friend, she was Linda Zeman, then not Lynn McKinney.
Yeah.
She is now one of the honchos of all these River Shannon, the Lodge, and all these places here in Chicago. So how fortuitous is that?
Perfect.
She contacts me and says, you used to live above the River Shannon. I think it's time we name that street in front of that place after you or something like that.
What a nice honor.
So it's really nice. It's very sweet. The circle comes around, and I'm happy for her that she went on and did so well in her business, and I did pretty good in my business.
Oh, yeah.
And the River Shannon did pretty well in its business. The neighborhood got a lot better from when I lived there, I'll tell you that. I used to have to run to my car when I lived up there. There was a group, the Hudson Street Headhunters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some of them. If you're listening there in Joliet, wherever the prisons you're all in. I was that guy you used to chase to the car. Because it was a tough neighborhood. Sure. And I'm wearing bell bottoms. I had hair down to my shoulders. I was in a band back then, you know, when I was an acting student. And it would be like, I swear to God, I'd see these guys, you know, sitting, you know, around the corner there. They'd see me. They'd go, "You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding." And then we're off to the races.
Yeah.
Oh, what was your band called?
The Apocryphals.
Oh.
We were popular in the area at the time, not as popular as some that went on. One thing is like the Ides of March.
Right.
Out
Jim
of Berwyn.
Peterick,
Jim
yeah.
Peterick. Now, Jim will tell you that he first decided to become a musician and get into a band when he saw us play at the Cermak Plaza Battle of the Bands. And when our band won, it was like, yeah, I want to do what those guys are doing. And I remember we were like, we made a couple of records, and I remember one of the records we told him, we said, "Jim, come on, you come along, you play the tambourines. Well, you stand in the corner." He was younger than us. He went to Morton West. We all went to Morton East. We figured he's from Berwyn. What the hell is he know? So he's playing a tambourine in the corner. You know, next thing you know, I mean, out comes Vehicle and all that. And
LA that's Goodbye, everything.
And we used to tour with the Missing Links, who became Chicago Transit Authority. And
oh,
Chicago.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's when the writing was on the wall for me of like, yeah, the band stuff's fun, but I don't want to be playing Holiday Inns all my life. So maybe I'm going to segue into something else. So that's when I kind of took acting a
you
little
miss
more
it seriously. At all a little bit?
Every once in a while, like the band Chicago, I'm still very close to all the boys there. They were out in L.A. They come out all the time. About 2 years ago, they were at the Greek Theater out there, very nice venue, outdoor venue. They said, "This is the year you're going to sing with us. You're going to do a song with us." So they brought me up on stage. I got to sing with them, which was a flashback to the 60s for me with them. And every once in a while, I have friends that work for Fender Guitar, and I used to play a Fender guitar in the band. They contacted me. There was a charity benefit Fender was doing. They said, "Hey, if you come and you play one song with the band, we'll donate this money to this charity." I was like, "Oh, okay, you know." And so they supplied me with a guitar and the whole thing, because I had sold the equipment like millions of years ago. And so every once in a while, I was tempted to come out. But no, the music thing never quite panned out, but... it's all good.
There's a great documentary on Chicago. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
On the band. I'm in it.
Are you in it?
Oh, I'm in it, yeah. I'm in it briefly. They interview me. You know, I probably tell that little story.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's great. I have to ask you, there's one of the funniest shows on television is a show called The Middle.
Your
daughter Gia plays Devin Levin.
Devin Levin, right.
So what goes through your head as you're watching another generation of Montana act on television? You must be very proud.
Yeah, I am. Well, I am. Not only that, she's 10 years ago, she did a thing on Criminal Minds.
Oh, did she?
When she was a little, and they asked me, I've never pushed her about her career, because it's one of those things, I didn't want to be that guy. Like, hey, you ought to, you know, get on the show. I didn't have to be a stage father, because this is what I did for a living.
Yeah.
But she grew up around it. It's like, if I was a plumber, I can't be surprised my kid fixes every pipe in the house. You know what I mean? So she gravitated toward it. She's really good. So the producers came to me when she was 17, said, because she had done this movie called Unaccompanied Minors when she was even younger. And she was like one of the leads in it. It was a big, big movie about kids stranded in an airport. And Paul Feig directed it, who went on and did Bridesmaids. And so anyway, I said, sure, cast her in the role. And she did the role. And now they've reprised even that character in Criminal Minds. She's back 10 years after.
Wow.
Anybody's been watching it lately, that character just popped up last week. I think she might even be in tonight.
That's
that episode.
Great.
But anyway. So her career's worked out really well, but she's a great kid. She's a wonderful musician, singer. I'm very proud of her. I'm proud of both my daughter. My other daughter, Mia, now she has autism, which is part of the reason why I support the Easter Seals. I've been the spokesman here for the autism school here in Chicago for many years. I feel very blessed. My wife and I, I knew her in high school. We did the play Hair together here in Chicago at the Schubert Theater in 1969. That's when we first got together. I mean, we knew each other. I was older than her. I was in junior college. She was in high school. But then when we both got cast in Hair in 69, it was like, hey, I remember you. I remember you, that type of thing. Now we've been together since.
If you did Hair together, there's a good chance you were not wearing clothing at the
time.
There's
a real good chance I wasn't wearing. That might have been the reason she married me. Think about it.
High praise.
Yeah, you go. I said when I started my career, I did like a year and a half in Hair, almost 2 years. I'm thinking maybe about 1.5 million people saw all of me. So, you know, everything was like, kind of made the rest of the career easy after that. You know what I mean?
Get it out and
you get that vanity thing right out of the way, you know.
people are going to see a more attired version of Joe Montana out in the river. Shannon, a little bit later on today for the street sign unveiling, and it's going to support Easter Seals as well, the event tonight.
Yeah, exactly. The proceeds of people come to the River Shannon there, I'll read it from 4 to 7, and all the profits are going to be donated to Easter Seals Chicago here.
Beautiful.
For the Autism School.
Beautiful.
And we wanted to mention, too, that you'll be, you know, another kind of charitable cause, a cause that achieves a lot of sympathy. But not anymore, right? The Cubs. You're going to be out of Wrigley Field
Friday.
For our mighty Cubs.
Yeah, Friday afternoon against the Yankees. I'll be there throwing out that first pitch and singing the seventh. And
now, your connection to the Cubs is obvious. Anyone who knows the play Bleacher Bums has partially you to thank for Bleacher Bums.
Well, yeah. I mean, I conceived it. It was my idea for that play. And then luckily, I was with a group of actors, Dennis Franz included, back in 1977. Where, you know, we would run out of money that year. What it was, the organic theater, we'd run out of money. It was the summertime. All our grant money was gone. We had like $200 left. And I remember Stuart Gordon, the director, said, anybody have an idea for a play that costs $200? We'll do it. And I had this idea of, you know, I used to sit in the bleachers among all these people.
Yeah.
And I used to look around and saying, this is more entertaining than the ball game because the team is at best mediocre.
Yeah.
But the fans, what's with these guys? We have thousands of these people coming out here to watch this team. What if I could capture this in a play, I'm going to have a hit.
And so you did.
Yeah, and then we did. And so that's what I told them, you know, the rest of the cast. And they said, yeah, okay, let's give it a shot. We all brought them all out to Wrigley Field. I had them sit where I sat in the bleachers. And they said, oh, yeah, this is a play. This is a play. And luckily we put it together, and the rest is history.
To this day, when my family is celebrating an event at a nice restaurant, we go, where should we go? And we all go, the House of Sweden.
That was a Dennis Franz line. That was a great Dennis Franz line. To the House of Sweden. That was a big night. That was a big night out back then, yeah.
You still talk to Dennis?
I do, yeah. Dennis and I are still very, very dear friends. I love him to death. We moved out to California together, actually. He drove the moving van with all of his stuff and all of our stuff. And I towed one car with another car. So literally, we moved out. It was ironic is... When we got to Los Angeles, we were driving down Hollywood Boulevard. We're both going, wow, this Hollywood, look at this, where they got the stars on the Walk of Fame. And
yep.
Man, this is the place. And then jump cut, I wound up giving the speech for his star when he got his on the Walk of Fame. And he, of course, he was there when I got mine.
Did he wear the short sleeve shirt and the tie that he made famous?
I think he got rid of that right away. He got rid of that right away. He got rid of everything right away. I mean, when that show went off the air, he basically tipped his hat to show business and said, I'll see you later. And God bless him. Dennis has been, he's got three beautiful grandchildren. He travels. He plays golf.
Yeah.
And he doesn't miss it at all. I talk to him all the time. I try to tempt him to come. Hey, do you want to do something together? We'll go like old times. Nah,
and he doesn't.
He doesn't. You know, and I get it. I mean, I do get it.
He was on the Emmys a year or so ago. He presented an award, and that was the first time I'd seen him in years.
And that's it. That's what he wants. That's Dennis. I mean, that's Franz. I mean, I guess maybe it's the Dennis's. Farina was like that, too.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
so.
They kind of shied away from the limelight.
Right.
You know, God bless Farina and Franz and, two obviously great Chicagoans and dear friends of mine.
You still enjoy playing the role of Fat Tony on The Simpsons? Is that still fun?
It's my longest running role. It's 25 years. What do you think, Tony?
I think it's very good. I don't get mad. I get stabby.
Okay. That's enough out of you. I do. I thought, you know, when I got cast, it was right after Godfather 3 came out. And I think that was their logic. It was like, oh, the Godfather movie opened. Who's the bad guy? That guy? Let's bring him in to play this character of Fat Tony. Let's see if that might be fun.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be a one-off, one-shot deal, you know. Then I get a call like maybe a few months later. You know, we get some good response on that guy. You want to come in do another one? Yeah, okay, I'll do another one.
And how many have you done so far?
I've more than anybody.
Yeah, right.
I think more, as the guest voice, I think I've done more than anybody. Wow. At least they tell me that. I don't know how many, but I'm happy to do it. I mean, I think the quality of the show is still good.
Yeah.
Matt Groening still shows up at the read-throughs.
Sure.
Everybody, we have a lot of fun. I mean, we've all grown old together is what it is on that show. But it's kind of like the fun thing that I get to do two or three times a year. Yeah.
Any street named after you in Cicero where you grew up?
There is, actually.
Oh, there is?
There is. That's pretty funny because the president of Cicero, who I think is going to be there today at the Chicago thing, they contacted me. It was so Cicero Because they call, he says, Joe, we know you went to high school at Morton East, and you started there in the theater department. We'd like to name a street after you. I said, wow, that's great. Well, what street is it? They said, what do you want? I made it kind of opened it up. I said, well, geez, the school is on Austin Boulevard, and back then the junior college was also in the same building.
Yeah.
So I spent 6 years there. So I was between high school and junior college. And so I said, well, I spent 6 years on Austin Boulevard. I know it's a big street. Is it asking too much? No, that's fine. We're going to do that one. So right on the corner of 25th and Austin, we used to call UCLA, meaning University of Cicero, located on Austin.
Right.
There it says Joe Montaigne Way, honorary Joe Montaigne Way, just above Austin Boulevard. So nice. I think it's fitting. I mean, and I was going to actually incorporate that in a little speech I'll give today thing here that kind of bookends. That's I started in high school, my career there. And then when I went on to acting school, I lived above the River Shannon. So those two spots are very meaningful for
Perfect.
Me. And so if I'm going to have streets, those are the spots to be on.
Nice.
My mom went to Morton East. She grew up in Cicero. She was born in a house in Cicero. We did all our family wakes at Vance Funeral Home.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you about Vance Funeral Home. She was like 8 feet tall.
I'll tell you about Vance Funeral Home. I had a paper route when I was in eighth grade in Cicero. And on Sundays, you got to deliver papers real early, when it's dark.
Yeah.
And I would remember I'd have to go down. I think it was 50th Avenue. Was it 50th Avenue? I think it was 50th Avenue or 16th Street, whatever it was. I'd have to drive down the street at night on my bicycle with the newspapers Sunday morning to deliver the papers. And I'd always get freaked out if there was lights on in Vance Funeral Home. Because I'd look over to my left and I'd see the lights and I go, what's going on in there? It's Sunday morning at like 5 a.m. and it's dark and there's lights on in the funeral home.
Oh, that's eerie.
And I would come, I'd be like, zhoop, like nobody rode a bike faster than I did on that block.
That's so spooky.
So that's my memory of Vance Funeral Home.
I have to ask you so quickly, we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
You hosted Saturday Night Live years ago, and during your opening monologue, and I know it was a plant, but a father and his son get very upset that you're not the quarterback, Joe Montana.
Exactly.
Has anything like that happened to you at some point?
All
I'm sure of it.
All the time. Yeah. All, in fact, Montana and I, we did a radio show together where we talked about that he used to get my mail, I'd get his mail, he'd get paged in restaurants, you know, he'd go, you know, back before cell phones, you know, he'd get the thing. Yeah. What, Joe, how you doing, man? You know. It was like one of my buddies from Cicero heard I was in this restaurant. No, this is the football player. I'm sorry. And the same thing would happen to me. So, you know, it happened. But I'm thinking, well, I'm, you know, hey, if you're gonna have a name close to a quarterback's name, better it was
good
that
choice.
One. Good choice, you know. Hall of Fame, pretty good.
Could have been close to Cutler. You would have been in trouble.
Yeah, you go. Well, God bless him. Rest in peace.
Trubinsky. It's so nice to finally meet you. We've all been fans of yours forever, and you're just as nice a guy off air.
Well,
off,
my pleasure. You kidding? Anything with the name WGN on it, I mean, it's like this is like, you know, my mother worked at Sears. You know, I lived across the street from Sears when I grew up on the west side of the city. So, I mean, things like GN, Sears, these are like institutions.
Iconic
in this
names.
Town. Very
so
iconic
are you.
Names. Well, thanks very much.
Absolutely. Congrats on the streets, and Criminal Minds is as big as it's ever been. So, congrats on that as well.
Yeah, it's all good. Life's been good. Very, very good to me.
Yes. Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
Greatly appreciated.
Thank
you. It's Joe Montaigne, everybody. We'll take a quick break, and then we've got news. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
And once again, thanks to Joe Montaigne, who is going to have a street declared Joe Montaigne Way. This afternoon from 4 to 7, he will be involved in a ceremony at River Shannon, 425 West Armitage, and that will be very exciting.
We were just discussing off air, and I think this is okay. I hope this is okay.
That he's hot? I'm good with that.
Yeah, both you and Wendy voted that he is a very hot man, and it's hard to say no to that. He is.
I think Bill started that conversation.
He did. I think, Bill, you seem to be really into him.
Here's what I said about him is a lot of times when you're used to seeing somebody in movies or television, when you meet them in person, they're 4 or 5 inches shorter than you envisioned.
Right, and they just
smaller.
Don't look the same.
Right.
You know, like, oh.
Joe Montaigne, on the other hand, better looking in real life and a lot taller in real life.
Yeah.
He has always been handsome in my book, but he has aged like a fine wine, if I may.
Yeah.
Vino.
You know what? He's pretty foxy, if you know
He looks, and I love that he married his high school sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little older. They're in here together.
And to be clear, they were in high school together. I think the way he was telling the story, it sounded like he had married a high school girl. But he did not marry a high school girl.
No, I didn't. Now, did he marry her soon after high school? Or are you saying now?
Sophomore year.
Oh,
Yeah, he was out of high school, and she was still in high school, and they were in the play Hair together, and they started dating. And it's so funny, when Jim Peterick gets wind of this, Jim Peterick started up a band, the Ides of March, after seeing Joe Mantegna's band, what were the Apocalyptics or something like that?
I think that's right, yeah.
And, one did very well, and another did very well in a different way.
In a slightly different field. Yeah.
Now, when they put his sign up, are they going to have, in parentheses, the pronouncer for his name that no one can ever seem to pronounce?
A lot of people say Mantegna.
Yeah.
Who says wrong? You know, all you have to think of is who says lasagna. It's lasagna.
Is that true?
Well, no one says lasagna.
I've been saying it wrong.
All right, no one You're except Bill Lev.
Lasagna? You're sure? All right.
The GNN is Nya.
It's just a hard name when you see it.
I guess.
It's, unless Pilak. You know it. Yeah. P-I-E, Pilak. Yeah, they say Pilak.
If you were giving Joe Mantegna his own street, though, wouldn't you give him a regular street and not just an honorary? I would say, I don't want to mess with Joe Mantegna. I'm giving him whatever street he wants, not an honorary, an actual street.
Well, they did in Cicero, because that's how they rolled there.
Right.
But in Chicago, and they did just change that, because we look at all the Brown honorary ways, and they're all people that have passed away. Yes, I thought, is he the only living one?
Probably
not.
There's
got to be somebody else who's
still alive. But now, after this sign is erected, yeah, I said it,
That's the correct word to use.
Is Goethe still alive, Judy? Do we know? Goethe?
Last week.
Did he just pass away?
Last week. Yeah.
That's sad.
But they have that new ruling where it has to be posthumously.
Oh.
Which kind of sucks. Why can't you enjoy
it? That's not
fair. Yeah, exactly.
It isn't.
They changed that about stamps, right? Because for a long time, if you were alive, you couldn't be on a stamp. But I think that's been changed.
And what is the point of that?
I don't know.
It's so dumb.
I don't understand.
We don't want you to enjoy it.
Right.
So you're going to have to die before you do.
Right. And then
you get
yourself.
Recognized, and then, yeah, everyone else can enjoy it for you.
Bill, I saw you on a sticker with Goofy Grape.
Yeah, is that strange?
No,
why
actually
is
it isn't. Can Matt talk to us about Criminal Minds?
Yeah.
Hi, Matt.
Hello, Wendy. Hello, Bill. It's been about 2 months since I've called.
Since your last confession?
Remember, Matt used to call us every single day.
The first week, every day, first week, yeah.
And then I made him feel bad, and so you waited a couple months. Thanks for that, by the way, Matt.
You're welcome. I know hearing my voice is like music to your ears, Wendy, so I try to keep it.
Wendy's got a huge smile on her face.
I love it. Welcome back.
Very happy.
Hello. So, look, ever since they fired Thomas Gibson from the show, there's been like a boycott of Criminal Minds, like no watch without Hotch or whatever you want to call it.
Wendy, I'm not sure if Wendy's up on this.
I'm not.
Do you know the story?
No.
Thomas Gibson's an actor. People would know him, I guess, best from Dharma and Greg. And he apparently had some problems with the people he worked with.
Did he leave on his own volition?
He did not.
Oh.
He was forced out.
No, they fired him, and he was only in the first two episodes of this past season, and then he just randomly vanished. And they said he went into witness protection, which is, I mean, the best that they could do.
Sure.
Without just indirectly killing them all. But the point is, Joe Mantegna makes that show what it is at this point. Joe Mantegna is the best part of that show. So I encourage everybody to keep watching it. And frankly, I had no idea that he inspired Jim Peterick.
I know, isn't that a great story? Although we should get Peterick on to
corroborate the story.
Or
disagree with the story.
Thanks for filling in the blank for me, because really words are not my specialty today.
Yeah, no,
words.
Make him an offer he can't refuse.
All right, we'll look into that, Matt. Thank you so much.
Nice to hear from you, Matt.
Good to hear from you too, Wendy.
Don't call tomorrow.
Uh-oh. I thought it was going to end cleaner than that. Speaking of actors.
Yes.
Because you're a Walking Dead fan, you're probably familiar with Josh McDermott from the show Walking Dead.
Is he the guy who you say looks like my husband?
He looked like your husband looked
when I first met Jimmy Mack. He had a mullet much like
Eugene.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Eugene. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the mullet.
He's in the news because now this is the actor, Josh McDermott of Walking Dead. He says he is quitting social media. He's not going to be on social media anymore. And the reason is
because he's a traitor.
Well, kind of. Yes. On the show, he was a good guy for a while, but some things have happened that have made him not such a good guy. And people who watch that don't understand that he's just an actor who's reading words that writers have written for him. They think he, Josh McDermott, is not a nice man. So online, he's getting death threats from people saying, don't do bad things to the people you love. What's wrong with you? These people care about you and you're trying to hurt them. But in reality, he's doing his job.
But don't people really know
that? It's pretend. Do people not understand pretend?
Apparently not, because it's gotten to the point where he can't go online anymore without getting death threats from people who are furious with his behavior.
See, I just don't understand it. And until you're in someone else's shoes, when the world has become a zombie apocalypse, mm-hmm. you sometimes might have to, I'm not saying I would, mm-hmm. but you may sometimes have to go where your bread is buttered.
Right, or human, where your human is buttered. Because everyone eats brains in the future, Judy.
Yes.
We don't want them, but they eat them.
I'm a big fan, too.
My mom used to tell this story about, I only barely remember this. I watched All My Children for years. And there was a woman on All My Children. I don't remember the actress's name, but she played a woman named Claudette on the show. And she was a villainess. She was a very nasty woman, Claudette. And my mom one time was on a plane with her where she was recognized by several people and treated rudely by those people because of what she did to the citizens of Pine Valley.
And my mom said,
no one seemed to get it. She's just an actress playing a role. Everybody was just like, oh, you.
I guess as the actress, you could say to yourself, wow, I really have an effect on people.
Yeah. See, that's half full. That's what Pilex says.
Right.
She's
but I will tell you that Game of Thrones, that Joffrey kid, yeah, if I saw him, I might kill him.
Is this the real anemic-looking kid?
Yeah. He was like the worst villain ever.
Yeah.
Bill, are you the only people who have not seen Game of Thrones?
I think it's just the two of us now. I
haven't seen a minute of it.
Oh
no
gosh.
Desire.
I do want to see it. But I'll get too wrapped up.
Literally,
in it.
I can't wait. Yeah, you will. You will not be able to wait for the next episode.
Because it's dragons and topless ladies.
Pretty much.
Again, why would I watch it?
It's everything you could ever imagine.
We mentioned this on the stream earlier today, and we talked to Orion Samuelson to corroborate our story. Remember yesterday, Jude, when I was talking about the lettuce being so expensive?
Let us revisit that topic.
And, yes, were you planning that all morning?
Kind of. I knew you'd talk about it.
Mm-hmm. It was you or Bill who said, let us pray.
That would be me.
Okay, that was you.
Yeah.
And that's the headline they used back in April. I guess April 19th is when that story came out in the New York Times.
Yeah.
But there is a temporary problem with lettuce, and
yes,
you doubted
apparently
it.
Yeah, I did doubt it because I'm like, there's no weather situation, but there was a
California,
weather situation.
California, like I said.
Yep. You're absolutely right. There was too much rain, and now there is a lettuce shortage. Mm.
But as we talked to Orion, give it a little time. It's just temporary.
Right.
It's not going to be like this all summer.
And I think you could probably find lettuce for less than
$6. At Aldi, which I'm going to hit on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
Orion
you
relieved our fears.
You will not be disappointed.
He relieved our fear. He did what you would want Orion to do, is he came on and with a very forceful voice explained to us that the lettuce thing is just temporary. Not to we can't have a lettuce panic. That's the worst thing we can do right now.
Can you imagine?
No.
God knows what would happen.
No.
If people like Wendy didn't get their lettuce.
Are you going to hoard all the lettuce in the city?
I might. I love Wendy. Lettuce on sandwiches.
You might have to go to the head of lettuce for a little bit. And
I've done the fresh.
Yeah.
It's not packaged. And, you know, I hate to bring this up because, you know, I do buy those bagged lettuces. Because it is easier.
But the markup is insane.
That's not really that high in comparison to the full head now.
Really?
But the
packaged, the pre-cut and pre-washed lettuce, that will also go up in price if the regular head.
It hasn't, though.
I don't
know.
$6.99 is what you normally pay for that?
That is for the romaine hearts.
Right.
I'm talking about like the Fresh Express and the other ones, and crisp. Except when it came out in the news that there was a dead bat in one of them. I got to tell you,
how much does that cost? That's got to cost even more to throw
well,
that in
there.
It
goes by weight, so obviously.
It's $8. You're looking at $8, bucks, $9.50 maybe?
I can't get past that. And
now, who didn't see the bat? I mean, those bags aren't that big.
Right.
I always shake the bag a little bit when I look at it to make sure the lettuce in the bag isn't wilted because
it always is.
Ugh, a bat.
And you know, they are allowed a certain number of.
Yeah, this is was a putrefied
bat. But not a
bat.
No bats are allowed.
Well, it would have been chopped up. I'm surprised it was whole.
Right. You have to ask the deli guy. Could you cut this into sixes for me? I can't eat a whole bat. It would be full.
But here's the thing that I can't get past. Are you throwing up?
You mean I think I swallowed a bat in the lettuce?
It gets worse because the person who noticed that it was in there noticed it after they were eating the salad. Now, how do you know?
Because you pour it out. Okay, first of all, bats can be very small.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, and if it's dead, it's already maybe shriveled a little bit more. So
you're making me hungrier.
I don't usually...
It's just red cabbage.
I don't usually eat the whole bag of salad either. I usually put some salad in a bowl and save the rest. So
right.
I could see how that would happen.
But you're pouring it into a bowl. You're not just, you know, sticking your hand in the bag and eating it. So wouldn't you see, like, all
not
of a sudden
it's
some
at the bottom?
But some big, I guess.
They always save the prize for the bottom.
Like Cracker Jack, yeah. Cracker Bat.
Right.
Whoa, what did we get this time?
What's your prize?
I said bat.
A bat. A Fledermaus in Germany.
What?
That is.
That's German for bat.
How do you know that? You know, pamplemousse and what?
Fledermaus.
So you only say moose words? Moose and squirrel?
Why is that
moose?
Weird?
Yeah. Is that even a German Fledermaus?
Fledermaus means flying mouse, a bat in German.
Oh, moose, mouse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all my foreign words have moose in them.
Chocolate
I don't know,
moose.
Why is that strange? That's how it is. If you're learning the language of the world,
is that a moose?
You start with moose and you go from there. That's not weird.
This is a crazy story, but
crazier than your bat story.
Well, oh yeah, because I have an older brother and sister who tormented me my whole life because I'm much younger than they are.
Yeah,
and we used to play in our we had a neighborhood where we grew up where there were tons of kids, mostly guys. A little bit of reason why I'm a tomboy, but we'd have like neighborhood softball games in the middle of the street. We'd play flashlight tag at night. Mm-hmm. And I would always hang with the older boys, and my brother started this thing. The neighbors who lived across from us had their backyards were connected by a little bit of woods.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, "Don't go back there. The moose is back there." And I don't know what who would be
of
scared
all the terrifying
of that?
Animals, the moose?
But in my brain.
Was this in Canada?
No, but in my brain I was like, okay, this must be like Bullwinkle. He's on 2 feet. He's huge. He's going to come and scare me. And I ran home crying like all the time. And now that my kids are in their teenage years, they ask Uncle Chris to tell this story about the moose. So whenever moose comes up, my kids still go, "Mom, it's the moose."
But what? There's
why
way scarier animals and more realistic. Like you would know, there's no moose in that part of town.
It scared me more that there was this incomprehensible giant moose that was going to attack me.
No, I guess.
Than it did when our neighbor Ted threw a firecracker at me and it exploded like 5 inches from my face.
Oh my goodness!
That didn't scare me, but the thought of the impending moose.
Yeah, in the woods, in that wooded area.
So that was premonition that I would work with a guy who would only know...
All my foreign words do have the word moose in them. You're right. You've caught
on... You're here to torment me.
You've caught on to my trend. I'm surprised Steve Bertrand Travel doesn't hire me to go to different parts of the world and point out moose
really?
Words.
Really? Are you surprised?
I'm shocked. You would think it's a natural, wouldn't you?
Didn't you have any irrational fear when you were younger about something as stupid as the moose?
I'm trying to think. You know, I don't know if kids, like... When we were kids, there was still that idea of the boogeyman.
Yeah.
But I, like, to my daughters...
Shaped like a moose in my
shaped
case.
Like a moose to some, sure. But I don't know that that has lasted till now. Like, is the boogeyman still a scary thing for kids?
No, because Slenderman is on...
It's
well,
like
there
a
are
way
different forms
version.
Of boogeyman, you know?
Is there?
I think so.
But see, the thing is... They all have cell phones, so they're all seeing visions of the boogeyman and Slenderman.
Right.
We didn't see visions, so our imagination made it way worse than it could have been. I bet that's what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
How else would the moose scare anyone? I went home crying every night.
Because of the phantom moose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just wanted to get rid of me.
There's a moose story you're forgetting somewhere in your past that
there
something happened with a moose.
I did like that
Bullwinkle?
Show.
Did something happen with Bullwinkle?
No, what was
now
it?
Now here's something you'll really like.
That's
is
Rocky.
That Rocky or Mickey?
That's Rocky. That's Rocky. Bullwinkle's
well, let
friend.
Me pull a rabbit out of my sleeve.
Now we're talking. That's full on Bullwinkle. That's fantastic.
Again, I'm just happy and it's laughable to hear you guys. Not scary.
In our neighborhood, when I was a kid, there was a Peeping Tom. And they wouldn't explain to me, because I was three, what a Peeping Tom was. So to me, Peeping Tom was like the scariest of all monsters. Because everybody goes, you got to be really careful. There's a Peeping Tom in the area. And I thought it was like a cross between a vampire and a boogeyman. And like my thoughts of Peeping Tom. So when I was a real little kid, when this happened, I was 3 years old. We just had my brother. He was less than a year old.
You helped?
I didn't. Well, I put, like, on my bed when I would sleep every night, I had a picture of an arrow that pointed to my brother's crib. So if the Peeping Tom slash Boogeyman slash Vampire would come into my room to get me, much easier target just down across the room, my brother. I would just have an arrow pointing
you
at his crib.
You have such a terrible mean streak.
I was three. It was all self-preservation at the time. I wasn't thinking anything other than preserving myself. But why go for me, a kid who would scream and run and shout when you got an easy mark right across the room?
Because you're supposed to protect him.
Yeah, who had time for that? I didn't have time for that.
I can't even respond.
I know. I'm
self-preservation.
But I may have done the same thing.
You would have done the same thing.
I was the youngest, so I bet my brother and sister did that to
there
me, too.
There are arrows pointing at you. Get the girl who believes in moose.
Meese.
Mice. Plater mice.
It is bizarre that every foreign language...
I can't explain it. I don't know why. It's just easy for me to remember.
All right, so bat in German...
is Fledermoose.
Grapefruit in French...
is Pimplemoose. And don't ever mix the two up. That would be the worst thing ever.
And a chocolate dessert that you enjoy?
Chocolate mousse.
Isn't that bizarre?
It is bizarre.
All right,
it's
kind of weird. I'll admit.
In all languages, you mean? Mousse? In any language you can?
No, not all. I mean, I barely speak English. I can't go beyond that.
But didn't you just do French and German?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a lot of fun at Epcot. If you ever go to Epcot, although if you're ordering a grapefruit, you might get a bat by accident. That's the one downside.
You remind me of another stupid story of me as a child because, again, my sister...
Whole goal was to torment you.
I know. So many times I'm thinking of all these things, but my sister was in high school when I was in elementary school, and she was taking Spanish, and she would just tell me things because she knew I was so gullible. So she said, I learned a word today in Spanish. And I said, oh, really? What is it? And she said, that little dog. And I said, oh, a chihuahua. And she goes, in Spanish, it's pronounced chihuahua. So when I was in fourth grade, I went to fifth grade reading, and I was there with Miss Maxwell, and we were talking about something, and dogs came up, and I raised my hand and said, did you know that in Spanish the word chihuahua is pronounced chihuahua? Oh. And she said, thank you very much, Wendy. And you just blurt things out like I did in fourth grade, where you just go, grapefruit in French is pamplemousse.
It's fun to know that stuff. It's valuable information.
Isn't I thought that was nice that your teacher didn't embarrass you.
Yeah,
no,
she
but
had
my
the chance.
Sister did. They did everything. They told me I had a pet rabbit. They told me I had rabbit fever, so I went and told the nurse that. And the nurse called the CDC, my parents, and it's your daughter said she has tularemia, which is rabbit fever, and we need to quarantine the school. And my mom's like, what? No,
she's
sick.
There is such a thing as rabbit fever?
Mm-hmm. What?
Tularemia.
Did you catch it from a rabbit?
Well, I had a rabbit, so, you know, I just was sick, and some
it
of my sisters...
It wasn't rabbit fever.
No.
You don't have rabbit fever.
Mm-mm.
All right. Because if Wendy has it, Judy, you have it, and I have it.
Yeah.
I don't need tularemia.
It's very contagious.
Is it?
We better get a Bäderbrau, or
yeah,
what is it?
Kevin, bring in some German beer. Wendy insists. We all have tularemia. How did you know that?
Because the nurse was worried about it.
Okay, and what's with the school believing you?
Right. If I was a school, you'd be the last person I'd believe.
I'd be like, I've got scarlet fever.
That's
I
the
chua
girl? I'm not believing her.
I might have said that to them, too. I don't.
No.
I believed I was. I'm very gullible to this day, Bill. You're aware of that.
Yeah. There's an element of that.
You have fun with that.
Sometimes. You have to take advantage, Jude. You have to.
You'd think I'd be hardened and not trust anyone,
no,
but I'm not at
that's
all.
Not you.
It's difficult to understand that you're gullible because you don't seem.
No, I'm totally gullible.
You see,
personality doesn't
seem much more worldly.
Gullible.
On the outside, I appear rough and tumbly, and on the inside, marshmallow center.
Chewy caramel center. Yep.
I'm pretty much a hard candy.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no question about that at all.
Which one are you, though? Are you one somebody eats because the root beer barrel's not working?
I
butterscotch?
No, maybe a Lifesaver?
Oh,
or
that's
a cherry
not bad.
One?
That's
yeah.
not bad. That's not bad.
There are too many good hard candies out there.
No. So the reason we mention all this is Joe Mantegna, much better looking in real life and much taller, wasn't he? I know it was a roundabout way of getting to that, but I think we proved our point.
Yes, I was kind of mesmerized when I saw him. I was like, wow.
Yep.
I got to tell you, we're on the stream. We should actually call this stream of consciousness, because that's really what this is. Yes.
Kind of, yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Don't you think that would be perfect?
Yeah, but they put up all those bonus hour billboards all over the city. I don't want that to go to waste.
Again, no, they didn't.
They what?
I think this is a good time to put one up.
They what?
Stream of consciousness.
Yep. I like it. Copywritten. Don't steal it from us, Eric and Kathy.
They have no stream going at all.
No, and all they've got on their billboards these days is Eric and Kathy.
That's it.
Yeah.
Straightforward, to the point. Yep. No false claims.
Although I saw one for WGN today. It said, no fake news at WGN.
Did it have your picture?
with with my fist out?
With a hand that goes back and forth waving on a pivot. All right, we must take a break.
No, we must go.
We must go. Oh, are we done?
We take a break first. All right.
We'll take a break first.
And then
first,
come back for a bonus second.
Yeah, the bonus second on WGN.
That is a stunning countertop.
It's quartz. They're the most sanitary. They never need sealing. And we have over 50 colors to choose from.
But what is Tom Jenke, owner of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom here in Builder Supply Outlet, doing with an egg on this beautiful quartz countertop?
I'm trying to balance the egg on its tip.
But Tom, urban legend says it only works on the first day of spring. Oh, watch out, you're going to drop it on the... Oh, what a beautiful floor.
That's LVP, luxury vinyl plank, the hottest flooring on the market. It's 100% waterproof, extremely durable, and now in stock.
You definitely have the best selection of gorgeous quartz and granite countertops, as well as elegant flooring.
Come and visit us, the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom in Builder Supply Outlet on Cermak Road in Broadview, and our newest Edge on 151st Street in Orland Park.
High-end look without the high-end price.
The Edge
Kitchen and Bath Showroom
from Builder Supply Outlet.
Or visit buildersupplyoutlet.com.
Dave Edit here. Listening to music before I go to bed has helped me get to sleep faster and sleep more soundly. That's why I've been using the Zeke Smart Pillow. Zeke, spelled Z-E-E-Q, features 8 built-in speakers that can stream music directly from my phone, while a built-in timer automatically turns the music off after a preset time. The best part? There are no headphones needed, and only I can hear the music. Get free shipping and save $50 on Zeke with promo code DAVE at RemFit.com. That's RemFit.com.
Everyone loves a new car, but nobody likes to pay full price. Well, your new car dealer has a secret to cutting your monthly car payments. Leasing a new car in Illinois is a lot less taxing than it used to be, and that means you can get a lot more car for a lot less money. When you lease a car, you don't pay for the entire car. You pay only for what you use. Your monthly payment goes way down. Your peace of mind goes way up. You get a new car every 2 or 3 years, so you always have the latest and greatest technology, plus state-of-the-art safety features, smartphone connectivity, and infotainment. All the bells and whistles, not to mention the fuel economy and lower maintenance costs. And now that Illinois has cut the tax on leasing, leasing a new car is like getting a PhD in smart money. Your new car dealer has leasing experts who can show you the ropes. Go to drivechicago.com and learn the secret to getting a lot more car for a lot less money. It's the lease you can do.
Well, that's the end already.
That's the end, Wendy. We did not conquer.
But we did see Joe Mantegna.
Joe Mantegna was on. Dr. John Duffy, we want to thank him. Evan Robinson, he's fantastic. 11-year-old chef. And after our show, usually it's nothing, but today there's going to be a moose in the studio.
It doesn't work. I'm learning not to believe you. If you're not busy this afternoon at 4, go ahead and check them out. The city will be making Joe Mantegna Way up and operational at 4 p.m. From 4 to 7, it'll be a little ceremony at River Shannon, 425 West Armitage. Congratulations to him.
He deserves his own street. I hope it's a rough street.
Yeah, it might be.
In keeping with the Joe Mantegna Way, I hope it's a rough, kind of a jagged street.
Next time it rains, I'm going to make a little sign and I'm going to write the Bill Left Puddle.
I'd be honored to have that.
I'll do that for you.
I don't deserve it, but I'd be honored if that were the case.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll try it again tomorrow. We hope that you're listening then.
I won't be.
I won't be. Got other stuff. Bye, everybody.